you over to it live?
Okay. Hello and welcome to the meeting of the Board of Utah County Commissioners. As usual, we will begin by a prayer reading or a thought and the Pledge of Allegiance. Do we have any volunteers here with us who might volunteer to lead us in the pledge or a prayer reading or a thought? Okay, thank you. Looks like we have Paul Warner coming to give a prayer reading or a thought. If you could leave us in the pledge afterwards, that would be great. Thank you.
I'll do a prayer. Okay. Our Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and thank Thee for the wonderful place in which we live. We appreciate very much the challenges that are upon us in terms of how we are trying to overcome them. We appreciate the opportunity to express feelings and thoughts regarding those things that are so crucial to us. We thank Thee for the service that's rendered by so many of our public servants and pray that Thou bless them with wisdom and insight as they make decisions that have an impact on all of us. We thank Thee for our country. We thank Thee for the freedoms we enjoy. We're grateful that we can stand and pledge allegiance. And we appreciate very much the opportunity we have to live in this county. We pray now for Thy direction as we meet this day in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you to everyone. Fellow commissioners, would we like to go to the public hearing or build our agenda first?
I'm fine.
Either way, do you have preference?
Yeah. I'd say, well, I guess it's fine either way. Public hearing seems to be
okay.
Natural.
I will say that this public hearing item is an item that we have already discussed multiple times in our meetings. I personally do not view this as an opportunity to give a lengthy explanation for what's happening. That has already occurred in this meeting. So this is a formal public hearing, and really kind of fulfilling a notice requirement. And we want to keep people's comments limited. We have a timer here that is, we're going to set it at 3 minutes. Let's keep it at a 3 minute, okay, per person limit. And this is an opportunity for you to voice the proposal. And the item here is a public hearing to consider the Vivian Park Homeowners Association's petition to vacate the public rights of way in the Vivian Park subdivision, identified as Fairfax Drive, Vivian Way, and Beverly Way. So I would entertain a motion.
Move to open the public hearing.
And I'll second that.
We have a motion and second to move into this public hearing. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 3-0, and we are now in public hearing.
Mr. Chair, if we could, maybe just for efficiency purposes, are there for and against this consideration? Is there anyone here against? Against one? Okay, we want to make sure that you get an opportunity to speak. All will have an opportunity to speak, but I want to make sure that you have an opportunity.
In fact, perhaps you could go first if you'd like. Or we just open it up. Anyone can go, but I appreciate that's good to know where people are at. So anyone who'd like can take the podium. Please state your name for the record, and then you'll have 3 minutes to offer your public comment.
I'm Deanne Hewish, Orem, Utah. We have property on Vivian Way.
Yes.
I wanted to thank you for the opportunity to be heard on Vivian Park right away. I want to know if the commissioners vote today for the county to vacate the rights away, would Fairfax Road and Vivian Way be in the future in danger of eminent domain to take over creating trails, pathways, bike or footpaths?
Right.
Rob, do you have any, I mean, I guess theoretically all private property would be subject to that right, but it's not anything that I think anyone has ever considered at all on that property.
Okay, that was our question.
Okay. I think it's also worth noting that this is a public hearing. I guess we'll have to wait until we get to our agenda, but we are not required to take action. So the public hearing is a chance for you to speak your mind on this. Personally, I will not be voting during our public to just pass this vacating of the road, because I think there's some more details that we have to figure out. So I don't want people's comments to be too confused. You know, maybe if you specifically have a comment related to the agenda item of vacating the road, you could comment later there if there are specific details. But you're certainly free to offer whatever comments, questions you have in any way related to this during this public hearing.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll wait then till later. We're just concerned because of the vacating was asked by the HOA because we were trying to protect that one lane road called Vivian Road. And to keep it rural for the homeowners that live there, it's very narrow. And by creating different pathways that have been spoken about in the last couple of years, it would make it a dangerous road. And that's why we were asking that question.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'm Reed Dixon, and I live 6639 Fairfax Drive. And I just want to clarify, first off, we're on the agenda. There's a public hearing concerning this, and then we're also on the agenda as item 9. When do you want us to address our comments, now or then?
And Rob, correct me if I'm wrong. I may not know, but all I was saying is certainly anything related to this is appropriate for the public comment section. My only point was that I am aware that the HOA would like to see other things happen rather than just the vacation of the road, right?
Correct.
There's a maintenance agreement. There's an agreement that the county would like to see that has you being indemnified or us being indemnified. So there are details related to this that personally I don't think are spelled out well enough in the current agenda item that's item 9. And so that was a thought that I have. If people want to address that in their public comments, they may.
Do you want that discussed here or on item 9?
I would think that would be a discussion for item 9. The public hearing, by law, for us, we have to have a public hearing, you know, so that we can hear all sides, either side. And that's what this is about. Just not, it has nothing to do necessarily with the specifics. It's more about the, you know, the possible intent of what might happen.
So there are a lot of people here in favor of this. Should they wait till item 9?
No, I think you're confused. Item 9 is the commission's decision at that point. You don't even have to take any public comment on item 9. Yeah. So their chance to speak is right now, mm-hmm, during the public hearing. And
yeah,
if you,
okay,
decide to let them speak later, that's up to you. But their chance to speak is right now.
Okay.
So whether you have thoughts about the general idea of doing this or you have thoughts about specifically how you would like to see it done, you can take this time in the public comment.
I'm the spokesperson, basically, for the HOA. So what I'd like to suggest is that I have more than 3 minutes. And then each of these will probably be much shorter than 3 minutes. Can we do it that way?
You know, what we would typically do is if we could get a couple of volunteers who would give you their time. Okay.
Yeah. So okay. I won't take an hour like just happened.
Okay.
Okay.
So I think I saw at least 4 hands. We're happy to give you
I'll be brief, but I'm already into it. So, okay. So again, we've been working on this for about a year. Last summer, the entire HOA voted informally by raise of hands who would like to see this happen, and it was unanimous for those who attended and those who voted that way. Then, a little bit after Christmas time, we conducted a formal vote of every single homeowner in all of Vivian Park. And we sent out a 2-page letter that had a detailed description of what the proposal was. We were as detailed as we could be. We didn't talk specifically about indemnification, for example, or the exact timing of when an upgrade to the road could happen, or things like this. We were a little more general because we had to be. But we held a formal vote. We had a deadline. We had a period of time for entertaining the whole idea, the whole proposal, that was plenty long. It was approximately a month. And then we had a voting period that was plenty long for everyone to respond. It was approximately 2 to 3 weeks, if I remember right. Everyone, we only meet once a year, so it was the best way to do it, was basically by email. And during that whole time, there were many emails that went back and forth. I remember responding to as many as 4 or 5, and each response was about a page. I mean, these were lengthy discussions that we had, in addition to many phone calls and personal visits. So we were careful to make sure it was thoroughly vetted and discussed, and all of everything came out prior to and then during the vote. The vote was, in the end, 50 to 11. We have 75 homeowners, and so we almost had everyone voting one way or the other, which is uncommon. And that's 88% in favor. Some of those are mostly unaffected who live over on South Fork Road. They are still members of the HOA, of course, and so they're somewhat affected, but they won't be directly affected. We can say it that way. And they won't pay any cost or be looked to for any payment of anything. So some of those votes are a little bit different than the other votes, but to be thorough, we included everybody. There are two or three that have since understood the whole proposal differently since they voted, who I hear kind of by word of mouth that they are now in favor. So take that for what it's worth. The formal vote, 50 to 11, but it might be 53 to 7 or something. I don't know what it really would be if we were to re-vote it today. Vivian Park is a unique place. The picture up there of the plat, if you could help me. It was up there when we started, I think.
Yeah.
Vivian Park's different. It's old. It was platted over 100 years ago. Most of the lots are 50 feet wide. Many of the houses are narrow, of course, and older. I'd say about a third are full-time residents, and about two-thirds are second homes or vacation homes. Some are in some disrepair and aren't really usable. There's a few vacant lots. It's a different place. The road comes in. It's relatively narrow. The right-of-way is 30 feet. Pavement's 20 feet. It's a T-intersection configuration, and each end of the T is a dead end. So no one on that road is going anywhere except the residents. But as things grow and become more populated around the canyon, bear with me, but there's a few things I just want you to get the flavor of why we're so interested in making the road private. Me personally, I've had 4 or 5 experiences. One, we come home and someone had a picnic on our back deck. The barbecue is up. There's still a couple of hot dogs left over. There's trash all over the deck. While we were gone, they helped themselves to the barbecue and the picnic table. That doesn't feel very nice when you come home to that. On another occasion, a family pulled up in front of the house. We heard some noise. We looked out, and they're unloading firewood from under the front deck. I went down and asked them about that, and they thought we weren't home. They were surprised. After talking with them, I helped them with more firewood. I'm not against sharing firewood, but on my terms would be probably preferred, right, versus theirs. Another time, a beautiful bride was posing in our yard for pictures. Again, I love brides. It's awesome, but it'd be nice if we had more privacy sometimes. Another time, they stole my brand-new red lawnmower. It was beautiful, brand-new, gone. Debbie Elliott here had bikes stolen out of her garage. Karen Condi, I don't know if she's here. She was going to be here, maybe decided not to. She has had people, she lives alone, 86 years old approximately, sorry if I get that wrong. She has people knock on the door in the night, may I use your bathroom? The door's already open, she lives alone. It feels pretty dangerous that way. The Brenners, I don't know if they're here, but they've had the same thing on multiple occasions. So we would like to have privacy, we'd like to have security, we'd like to have control, and so we'd like it to be private because we feel like we can do those things if we make the road private. I was speaking with one of the Skousins, and they just in a short period of time were out working in their yard on a Saturday, and they counted 30 cars go by in 2 hours who who they didn't recognize, who don't live there. It's just an interesting little drive if you've never been there, and it happens a lot. Years ago, we had 8 break-ins. We had one rental van back up to a house on a Sunday and unload the house. We thought it was a legitimate move. We didn't know, so we didn't do anything. Others, you know, broken windows, things are stolen. So there's people who scope the place and then perform their things, and we would just love to have more security and more privacy. It already functions like a private road, in essence. We have our own water system. We have our own streetlights. We have our own trash removal. We have our own, we own property along the road. We have our own fire hydrants and fire suppression system. If we had a private road, we would continue to operate and function as we do now with just one added facility included. Those who vote against are concerned about the cost. Everyone's concerned about the cost, frankly. Even those in favor want to know what the cost is. Our estimates are that if we operated on a budget, we think if we increased the dues of the 63 who live on the affected roads by $110 a year, we would have about $7,000 a year, $5,000 of which would be snow removal, which is a good average budget, sometimes more, sometimes less. $2,000 a year, if the road lasts about 30 years, equals about $60,000, which is more than enough in today's dollars to totally repave the whole road. Which brings on the question of, we need to receive the road in good condition in order for this to work. The county's already slated the road for its routine maintenance. It hasn't been touched for 21 years. It's got some bad places, as you'll see on the pictures here. It's already slated for that. We're hoping that the road can be conveyed to us in even better condition so that we can rely on a high-quality road. If we're buying a used car, we want to know that it's been fixed up and it's pretty good and we're ready to buy this car. We don't want to put paint over top of a rusty car and call it a good car. So we're hoping that we can use the maintenance that the county would normally do as kind of a baseline and then add a little bit to it, not very much, but add a little bit to it. So those are our main issues. We want the road to become private. Once it's private, we want to have control of it and do what we want with it and have no one else have that authority. We plan on using a budget of about $110 per resident. And we would have perpetuity. We'd have control through either a plat or some other mechanism that the county would prepare or that we would prepare. So the timing of payments, the timing of conveyance, the timing of the road upgrade, which could be deferred. It could be done 2 or 3 years from now by agreement. Or we could receive funds and do it ourselves whenever we choose. So those, you're right, Tanner, those details definitely need to be laid out.
Okay. Well, thank you for presenting that. And I'm sorry that this isn't working, but I do think that we have all seen the pictures and are aware of it because you've done a good job of educating us in the past of why this is necessary. So appreciate that.
Yeah, in the absence of a picture, real quick, there are 2 isolated areas that add up to about 1,600 square feet that have settled. They've got some pretty strong potholing. They've thoroughly failed. And if you were to just overlay those, the damage would just reflect itself up through the new asphalt in short order. In a year or two, it would need repair again. We don't feel like we want to accept something like that. We're hoping that we can get the road repaired properly first. And then we know we have 20, 30, 40 years of good road ahead of us before we have to do anything.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you want the person speaking against to go next?
Yeah, really, whatever order, it's kind of first come, first serve, I guess, for the remainder of this. We will reinstitute the 3-minute time limit.
I told people who emailed in because of COVID who didn't want to be here that I would read their statements. So each statement should get a few minutes, and I can do them very quickly. They're little one-liners.
Okay.
Can we do that real quick?
Sure.
All right. So Karen Condi, I live on Fairfax Drive in Vivian Park. I am in favor and support the proposal of vacating the public right-of-way and conveying the road over to Vivian Park. Thank
as
you.
As you're reading documents, are you comfortable making those public?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Brett and Jennifer Skousen, actually, you're here. Didn't I see you?
No, they're here.
So do I don't need to read it, maybe? Okay. Jack Evans, I'm in full support of making the road private for us, exclamation point. He's my next door neighbor. Brad McKell just built a brand new house, brand new driveway. I'm fully in favor of vacating the road and making it private. This will add to our security and privacy. Thank you very much. Terry Warner, a yes vote from Terry Warner below. That was all he wrote. So those are the read-ins that I had.
Thank you.
They would be here if they could.
Thank you. Come on up.
My name is Val Dunn. I do not live on Fairfax Drive, but I live on South Fork Road. I've been actively involved in the HOA for some time. I'm currently the treasurer. And my concern about this has to do with the cost, as Reed mentioned, but also the liability that's there. And I personally feel that we would have to create a separate entity to receive this vacation of the road rather than Vivian Park Homeowners Association itself. Because those of us on South Fork Road don't want that liability or expense, but we like the idea of having it be a private road. And I'm totally in favor of it being done. I just think that's one detail that I would like to make sure is part of the agreement.
Okay, thank you.
So some of my concerns have been Kathy Worthen. My family does own property on Fairfax. Cost, yes, is a concern, but I also have concerns about liability. I'm wondering if that has been addressed. I'd like to know really what kind of liability the HOA is taking on if they vacate the road, and what kind of a promise really is there for that upgrade on the road, and that's a concern that, you know, it's kind of an if then in their the way they've presented it. So, you know, I'd hate to see it sneak through as a, well, we'll just do, you know, the minimum and then have it be put over to the HOA. The statement that it's already acts as a private road, I don't really understand how, if you put a sign up that says private road, that makes it all that much more secure and would eliminate all of these infractions that people have made to property in the past. And just because people don't recognize cars that come in and out doesn't necessarily mean that they don't belong there. So that's a concern. Those are the concerns that I have. And also the inequality of the folks who do live on South Fork Road as opposed to the ones that it's going to directly impact. So
thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Ron Acey. I live at 6687 Fairfax Drive and have lived there for about 15 years. I think the concerns that have been expressed are legitimate, both Mrs. Worthen and others. We all have some of the pro and con views. In my estimation, the idea of vacating is much more attractive than the alternative, which is to continue where we are. In the years that we have lived there, we have had trees cut off our lawn for Christmas trees. We have seen a dramatic increase, not only in the traffic up and down the road, but Vivian Park. If you drive there on a weekend, there are cars parked illegally stretching a half a mile or a mile up and down the road. We've expressed our concern to the Highway Patrol and to law enforcement, and they are overwhelmed by the task of really policing that. But that then spills over into Vivian Park. People search for places to park. There are no legal spots, so they drive up and down the street searching for places, which they may or may not find. We have an easement in front of our property with gravel, and people do park there. And I can't be sure that every vehicle drives in and out is that I don't recognize is not illegal, but doesn't belong there. But they drive in up and down the road and turn around and drive right back out. I don't think most of those people are driving in because they belong there. So I am, with my wife, very much in favor of vacating or privatizing that area. I would think that we would probably have some kind of a gate or system other than simply a sign that prohibits entry. But that, I guess, is a subject for a later time if and when the county accedes to this request and makes this private.
Thank you. Do we have any other additional comment, whether in person or on the phone?
My name is Nelson Dorney. I live at 6679 Fairfax Drive. And I just echo the comments that you just heard. I, in fact, live next door to him and have the same situation. So,
thank you. Thank you. Do you always color coordinate your mask and your attire? It's good. It's good look. You're the head of the rest of us.
He's an engineer who coordinates everything.
Sure. Additional comment?
Regarding liability, we have some thoroughness to take care of there, but we have spoken with we already have a general liability policy for our water system and our property and our roads and the operations we have already. And I've spoken with our insurance carrier a couple of times about this. The added cost would be a symbolic $1. And so the premiums aren't any higher, but the same general liability policy would also cover a road if it were to be added to our policy. So I still think we have some thoroughness to take care of to make sure that all our bases are properly covered, but we have investigated that already.
Okay, thank you.
I forgot to mention that the whole beginning of this kind of came up because there was talk that the county was planning to put a trail up through Fairfax, up through Vivian Park. And that was kind of what brought this whole conversation up. I'd just like to know, you know, what is the consensus or the thoughts about whether or not there really is going to be a push to put an actual official trail up through the neighborhood. I know that there's also a lot of work going on to try to connect what is now the trail that ends at Vivian Park to the rest of the trail that goes up along the river. And I'm wondering if the two are, you know, compatible conversations, or does one affect the other, or are they two separate issues? And that seems to be also another, you know, that was kind of the drive behind we need a private road because they're going to make it a really official public road and a public trail. So that's another concern.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Um, Is there any additional public comment?
Do the commissioners have any comments about her question about the county being interested in a recreation trail?
I'll look to the other two. I personally am not aware of that, and I don't know if there's confusion between the city or the county. There is, anyone else have a comment on that?
There is. I mean, there was, I'll put it that way. There was a exchange of property to make that connection over, and it was looked at for safety purposes. Going down, as you're well aware, as you come down South Fork, there's that turn there. There was a concern about bikers coming down that road and running into problems. And so for a purpose of concern, there was an exchange of some property. And then coming down Fairfax was looked at as a possibility for that bike trail to continue down. So that's absolutely true. Those conversations did take place and had been looked at.
Been considered, but there's a lot of challenges with any type of trail system up through there, given the geographical restrictions of the area. So.
Can I take my wife's...
Commissioner, if I can, this is Richard Nelson, Public Works Director. What the commissioners have both said is accurate. One of the things we've looked at is with the property that Commissioner Lee mentioned above the homeowner association area. There's an opportunity up there on some property we acquired from Provo City to make a separated trail area off of South Fork Road. We've looked at the options of through the tight area from where the homes are of doing something similar to what's up in Mill Creek Canyon in the Salt Lake Valley, where there'd be a shared trail road segment through there with some signage and some paint markings on the pavement to try to enhance the safety. That's something we've looked at. And then also on the trail going on up Provo Canyon, they are separate issues. That is a project that UDOT's currently working on to go from Vivian Park up to Deer Creek Dam and connect the trails that already exist on both ends.
Thank you for that clarification, Richard. We have another comment.
I'd like to just take one additional minute, and this is my wife's time. She's given it to me. But I've biked for many years and have ridden up South Fork hundreds of times. The idea of coming through Vivian Park on Fairfax, I've ridden my bike down there, and the speeds that skateboards and longboards and bicycles acquire in the natural course of gravitational pull exceed 30 miles an hour down Fairfax, and or 25 miles an hour down Fairfax. I don't think that would be a good idea, nor does anyone here probably. But what our ideas now are and what they may be 10 years from now or 15 or 20 years from now, nothing we say today or the county or the Provo City says is binding on future government and future inhabitants. So the only way to preempt someone 10 years from now doing that is really to make it private, I think.
Okay, thank you.
My name is Karen Christensen. I'm at 6632 Fairfax Drive. It sounded like it wasn't conclusive that you were going to run the bike path up Fairfax, but it has been included in some Tiger Grant applications, correct? The last two Tiger Grant applications?
I don't believe I've ever voted on this item, but that's where I apologize that I was not aware of. I don't recall this ever coming certainly to this body for action since I've been in office, so.
The Tiger Grant was the one that was in Provo Canyon. Mm-hmm. The one going up South Fork, we did apply for some funding through Mountain Land Association of Governments a few years ago. I don't remember exactly when it was. It's kind of when this issue came up, and we were not successful in getting any funding, and that's the only time we've looked at anything going up South Fork.
Okay.
And Karen, as you're well aware, because I've been up there with you on this, this was, I can't remember how many years ago that this happened, but it has to have been maybe four or five years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting for me in looking at that, because again, we were looking at it on a safety basis. And then after going up there, for me personally, and seeing and having that conversation with some of you, and seeing what was going on, some of that didn't make sense to me anymore. I can't imagine a biker coming down that road and then making a sharp left-hand turn when they know that the end is just right around the corner, and going over and forcing them down. That was one of the comments I think you made to me that was that made sense. And so we started looking at other areas, and I think, Reed, you were part of that too. We had some rumble strips and other things that we'd seen and that. And I thought, you know what, this is a different conversation than we had when I was first in office, because we were just looking at it really quick on how for safety reasons we could protect, you know, the motorcyclists or the bikes, cyclists, and the motor vehicles there, and also, and I know that some of you have had. Maybe your cars have been ran into by a bicyclist, you know, on that road because they're going so fast. And so it's an evolving conversation that is happening. But after a lot more input on there, I could see that sharp left turn and then down that road was not making sense to me. And so it does evolve over time as more information is coming out with it.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to clarify that it has felt like a threat that we haven't been able to have closure on whether or not it would go up. I am in favor, though, for the security and the safety, and also interested in having item 9 or all those details on liability as well. So
and you know, we've had, and I hate to jump into other issues, but we talked about the road itself and maybe widening it out even into the parking lot area and having different areas. So there's a lot of conversation going on up there
with Vivian Park
in the Vivian Park area and how traffic flow works, and you have the train that has to come around and have a turnabout that's there. So there's a lot of issues that are going on there. And as you kind of walk down through it, it becomes confusing with all the different stuff that's happening up there. But I mean, I see what the possibilities are with vacating this, and I'm in favor of it. I'll just tell you, I'm in favor of finding that solution, because I think that solution gives some permanency to individuals and residents that are up there that are needed and necessary. And we can accommodate some other things as we look at them into the future with, you know, some of the safety issues which have been brought up over the years.
Great. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Is there any additional public comment? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion.
Motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to close the public hearing. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That passes 3-0. We will now go through the process of building our agenda. We have 10 items on the consent agenda and 18 items on a published regular agenda. Anything that we do not hold for discussion will be approved on the consent agenda.
So obviously for me on consent number 2, just held for a discussion after we had the conversation during our regular COVID meeting, and under the counsel of Dave Shawcroft, he recommended we carry that over to just an agenda item before we made an official announcement there.
Hold consent number 2. I don't have anything to hold until regular agenda item number 1. You skip over anyone else? Okay. I have regular agenda item 4 to be held. Hold number 9.
I wonder if I had a request. Could we possibly table that until after our closed meetings? There was a possibility of having some numbers talked about in a closed session, and so I wondered.
And I was actually going to say the same thing Richard requested too.
Okay.
We hold that for a closed session.
Can we just table that? We'll just table that.
Okay. We'll table number 9.
and maybe just an explanation of what that means. We put it on the table, we go through a closed session, and we'll bring it, possibly bring that back up after the closed session for consideration or more dialogue.
Okay.
Could we also hold number 10 for just a question?
Okay. Hold number 10. Anything else?
Commissioners, this is Rob Moore. My suggestion is that we hold number 2 on regular. I think there's still some issues to be worked out. Commissioner Lee presented an alternative to that one.
Should that one be tabled as well?
If you'd like.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Maybe we table have a table number 2 as well?
Sure.
That's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
You probably saw my little, all it was a couple words.
It was, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And I submitted a response, revised version with that in
right.
it. I think Lehigh had some difficulties with that. So.
Okay.
Which they plan to discuss during the meeting.
Okay. I would just say the other note, this one was not held for discussion, but number 5, if it's being placed on consent, that's with the updated?
Yes.
File?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, we'll move.
This is Dave Shawcroft. Yes. Consent number, item number 5. My understanding was that the intent was to strike that unless it's been resolved.
Oh, sorry. I meant regular. Wait, sorry. Okay, two different things. What's your comment about?
Consent agenda 5.
5?
Yeah, consent agenda number 5. My understanding is that those agreements are not ready to be finalized, and the suggestion is to just strike it, and we'll put it back on when they're ready.
Okay. Okay, strike.
Dave, that's changed since we talked earlier. That matter has been resolved now, number 5, consent number 5, and Adam Beck has uploaded the most recent version and has sent it for signature. They've agreed to the most recent version. It is on your agenda as backup with the most recent version of that.
Okay.
Well. Great.
Okay, so we'll maintain that on 5. And just for clarification, I was talking about regular agenda item number 5 with the updated content.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Commissioner Ivey, the consent item number 2.
Yes, so obviously as we try and navigate through the planning of festivals and activities for the county, we traditionally have the opportunity to host the Utah County Fair. As we've looked at projections from our TRCC funding and given some uncertainties about the governor's actions in terms of what will be allowable as mass gatherings, I have some worries about our capacity to fund the fair at an appropriate level to host it. And even if at that point in time we'd be allowed to have the gatherings and organizing it at this point in time, you know, we're kind of behind the eight ball. And so in light of COVID, I think it makes sense to postpone the county fair until, you know, August of 2021 so that we can have secured funding for the fair without speculation on where our TRCC dollars are and the known capacity to properly plan it.
Yes, and I concur with that. I kind of tend to hold out a little bit of hope. And the hope is that if it's at all possible, I mean, that week's not going away. We still have that week. And if it's at all possible to have anything scaled down, even if it's just for the youth or some of those that participate there, that I would hope that we would, you know, at least reconsider that. But I understand, you know, the postponement part needs to be kind of as formal as possible. But I just wanted to kind of throw it out there, if it's at all possible, and it may not be. Right. We just don't know. And we can't do it on a long-term basis because you have to get, fairs don't just pop up overnight. They take usually years, and you have contracts and everything in place, which we don't have. We have so much uncertainty, it's unreal. Right. And so I can support, you know, this decision of postponing it till 2021, kind of with a caveat that if things change and we can do something simple during that week, it might happen.
And we're thinking even potentially like a virtual livestock show or something like that. A lot of, you know, the horse shows, livestock shows have moved to like a virtual type of exhibit. Yeah. And, you know, who knows what we can be available. But the mass planning part is just not going to happen at this stage.
I appreciate that. I concur as well. I think one comment I might make is that I think the general public is
pretty well aware of all the challenges of planning a large-scale event during this time with COVID-19. One thing that folks may not be aware of is this funding source for these events and for another event that's on the agenda comes from restaurant tax and hotel tax. And we have seen those revenues completely disappear. Typically, those revenues would cover the bond payment that we have on the convention center building and then have plenty left over to fund some of our other cultural events and tourism promotion events in the county. This year, at the rate that revenue has dropped off with our restaurant and hotel communities suffering so much, it may barely even cover the bond payment on the convention center. So this has been the account that has been hit the hardest. And so I just wanted to make that known for those who might be tracking this budget. Okay.
Rob, do you think we should do a formal motion for postponement or?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. I'd move then that we postpone the Utah County Fair until our regularly scheduled week of August 2021.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second on regular agenda or consent agenda item number 2 as stated. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. That passes 3-0. Okay, regular agenda item number 1 is to approve an agreement with America's Freedom Festival. I know that we have Jim Evans and Paul Warner from the Freedom Festival. I don't know. It sounds like they may have something to say.
Thank you, Commissioners. I'm Jim Evans. I think I know you all. I'm the Executive Director of the Freedom Festival. With me is Paul Warner, who is a member of our Board of Trustees and the former Director of the Freedom Festival, and he didn't tell me that this was going to happen this year when I took over.
I tried to warn him.
No, he says I lied to you with a smile. Obviously, last time we brought this up and you asked some questions on it, Commissioner, you were here and the other two were online. We said, let's wait till we see where we're at. You're probably aware that after talking, assessing this with our trustees and the governor and with our local officials and our sponsors, obviously we decided we can't hold the majority of our events this year. So we announced last night on KSL and on the news, the papers, everywhere, that we have canceled everything people say postpone. We've canceled this year, it'll be held next year. Postpone until next year. Everything except the fireworks show. And what we're looking at is actually putting together a larger than normal fireworks show for the 4th of July that we can have here in this area so people from all around north and south in the county can see it. We're actually working with a fireworks vendor to actually have fireworks to go up higher and out further than we've ever done before, and trying to do some things really to still have a celebration on the 4th of our community that people can see from their cars, from their lawns, from some parkways. And we're working right now with Provo City and the Public Works and the Fire Department to see where we ought to, best hold that. And so obviously with not holding a lot of those things, the money we normally get, as you mentioned, has pretty much gone away from the hotel restaurant tax. We don't need all that money, but we would like to ask, as you look at some of those funds coming in, and we are still going to hold this fireworks display, we're trying to work with all of our main partners, you and Provo City and some of the large corporate partners, they put a small portion in of what they've done in the past to help cover the fireworks so that we can still have this display for the 4th of July for our citizens, and hopefully people will be in town to see that. They can still try to go restaurants and still maybe stay in hotels and start to generate some of the interest for the reason that what this festival does. So just want to ask you if we could consider that. In the past, I think it's been $113,000, which really $100,000 because 3 of that goes for other things. And I think 10 goes to pass through back to the Colonial Fest, if I recall Paul. And I brought Paul, he's the long-term expert here if I don't have all the facts. But we were looking at if we could, for our large partners do $25,000, that would help us be able to pull this off. And so that's just for your consideration. And if you need to take that back and discuss some more looking at your funds, but we'd like to propose that at least you consider a portion of that to help go towards this event so we can still have a large fireworks display for our community here in Utah County here in Provo.
Do you have an estimate on the fireworks, the overall cost of the fireworks display?
overall cost is somewhere we were just working today. And I might mention the vendor is actually a local company that does this. It's done it for years for the Stadium of Fire, which we're excited we can work with a local company. And the initial projection right now is somewhere between $125,000 and $150,000, to have that. And so we haven't nailed it down. We've had just a couple discussions. We'll be finalizing that. But probably somewhere in that range, Commissioner Ivey, is what we're looking at. It'll cost a little more for the fireworks this year than in past years because we're going to have it in a location where we can actually literally go with larger shells, send fireworks up higher so more people can see it from their yards and not all have to congregate at the location to try to social distance. So we're trying to do some special things this year to have a display, but doing it in a way that more people can see without getting together. So anything else, Paul, you wanted to answer?
Just in the past, your support has been highly appreciated. We couldn't have pulled off a lot of the events, as you know, without the support of the county. And just thank you to each of you for that in the past. And we are looking forward to, like you are with the county fair, that this is just a postponement and 2021 will be better than ever. But Jim did make a promise that this would be the biggest and best fireworks ever. So we'll need to get this kind of support to be able to pull it off. So.
I said that on the news last night, and now I got to live up to it. So we're going to find a way.
Well, and you certainly had some great talent lined up for this year. So it is disappointing that this isn't happening, but hopefully that can continue into next year as well.
So a couple questions. What's your timeline on knowing for sure on the money, you know, when that has to, I mean, when you're going to say we're signing a contract and we've got the money? Is that in the next month or is it later? Or
actually, it's thank you very fairly soon because we have to, you know, the vendor has some of the fireworks already. They've been holding on to some of the bigger shells that they haven't used. And they said we've been saving for a special occasion. This is the occasion. We're actually having to order some, and there's a turnaround time over the next week or so. We need to commit to them that we have the funds so we can do this. And so probably within the next couple of weeks, I'd say probably 2 weeks, Paul, when we talk to them today. That'd so, Commissioner, good. It's a fairly quick turnaround time. We can have a show. We just have to scale it down or figure out another way to come up with some money from somewhere to do it. But within the next 2 weeks, we want to be able to sign the contract with them to say this is how much we can commit to spend on the fireworks.
Now, and I love the thought because I think that we need to celebrate and we need to get out as a community and celebrate appropriately. My concern, though, is that this TRCC money, even if we were to find the $25,000 for it, which, you know, there's a healthy amount in there that we've built up over the years. So I don't want to make it sound like there's nothing there. But still, it as you're well aware, we have to tag it back to a promotion, you know, for the county. It can't be like a local little localized event. And so that's my worry is that how do we tag this, you know, in an appropriate way where we're drawing either from outside the county through promotional basis, because just to say $25,000 for a fireworks display, I don't think that's gonna get past the lawyers. And the reason why is because I think that we'll wind up, if there's an audit coming back, we'll have to take that out of our general fund and not out of TRCC.
I could address that if I could, Paul, you could. Also, part of this, which I didn't bring up, is the festival. Obviously, we have an office, and we take the donations of all the different programs, yourselves included, to cover the costs of running the operation year-round so we can be preparing for the festival and all the events. We've already actually been working on all these events and spending that, and knowing that we would normally have some of these funds that help us every year.
Yeah.
And so if we need to, we've actually been doing work to promote these types of things year-round, and we've been doing a lot of that since the last festival. We started in, when I started, the first of, you know, July and October, September, October, and so we've been using the funds for that, for other things, to promote the things that the Americans Freedom Festival does, which promotes freedoms but brings people into the county to participate in the activities throughout the year. We've had some of those activities throughout the year, and so if we, you know, if we ended up taking some more money, we don't get this from just the reserve that we have, then that'll take away some of their activities we're working on to promote the America's Freedom Festival.
And that'll be helpful. I just want to make sure that we tag it right.
And the other thing is, you know, our database comes from everybody that's come to Stadium of Fire and other events. So when we advertise this, it'll go out all the way across the country because people do come to Stadium of Fire year in and year out. And so we will advertise the fireworks and who sponsors it across the country to our quite large database.
So this would be something totally different than what we're looking at here on our agenda.
Right.
This is, I mean, for the most part, you know, this agenda item here would probably just strike, and then something that we do later on, because in this agenda itself, it basically says that we can't scale it back, we can't do anything different, or this becomes null and void.
That's correct.
So it has to be. This is a complete redo for anything into the future.
That's right.
But I think we can get that done quickly for our next commission meeting. We have that.
Okay.
So we could see a new proposal.
I think Mr. Shawcroft has been working with us to get that pulled together.
Okay.
And I think there's, you know, general, at least from my perspective, support for trying to be supportive in some capacity, because I think it's critical that we have some type of event or celebration just for our own well-being. You know, I mean, we need to.
And as mentioned, we are going to try maybe to get a flyover in addition to that at the right timing, so it's more than
you could,
and the fireworks will really be impressive. We talked to them today.
You could shoot them out on Utah Lake, and we could all circle around the lake. You get them that big.
There are suggestions. Perhaps we might actually have them down by the Provo Airport, next to the lake. So we're actually working with Provo right now. This is happening very quickly, but working with them to see where's some locations that the most people could see the display.
Right.
Yeah. And I'd love to work with you if we need to make sure and tag it the right direction so that we have, you know, tourism, so that ours goes in the right categories.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate it very much.
We appreciate your support. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'd entertain a motion on regular agenda item number one.
I'll make a motion that we strike regular agenda item number one.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to strike item number one. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 3-0. We move to regular agenda item number four.
Commission,
Did
you want to consider, and let Lehigh's on the phone, and let them to address their issues with number two?
I think we tabled item number two.
Okay, whatever you'd like.
And then we'd move that into the closed meeting.
You want to have them involved in that close, or are you going to... What do you want to do?
Yeah. I'd prefer to have them involved in it.
Fair enough. I'll let them know. Thank you.
On item number four, actually, we have discussed this many times. So I have questions about this one. I feel like this is a relationship that we could spell out with greater detail and create clarity around the long-term expectations between us and the partner on this project, the City of Spanish Fork. So personally, I am more supportive of a more global and comprehensive document that really specifies and sets out such expectations. I've expressed that before. However, I think this is on the agenda now, so I would certainly entertain a motion if others are ready to move forward with this.
And I'll just make a comment. I appreciate that global look. As you're well aware, even when this came up, I expressed that possible global look into it. And, you know, I was reminded that we had a certain agreement of the past that was what we have on the agenda now. And so I feel comfortable with the discussions that we've had with Spanish Fork and where we're at here, but I do and would like to have that global conversation into the future.
For this particular item, I'm supportive. I think it's a step in the right direction that helps us make some needed improvements.
And I would just, I guess it sounds like it's going to go forward. I would just ask, to the extent the City of Spanish Fork is listening, that they work with us on this, that, you know, and this is not a statement about anyone's intention. I think everyone has intended to be good partners and have the best interest of the community involved throughout. But without a lot of detail, what happens is we sometimes take a couple of steps and then we're asking for approval of the other side, even though we're kind of already down the path. And I would ask the City of Spanish Fork that go as far as this agreement says, and let's not take one step further until we have clarified exactly what the county's role will be in any future development or support in the next projects.
So maybe I can make a motion And the motion would be to approve and authorize the signing of this resolution, but also in the motion to you know, to put a statement to your concern, and that this there is no other agreements or even implied agreements that have been made, or and that this one here, and we've had this conversation with Spanish Fork, that this one at this point in time is as far and as comfortable as we feel going forward with. There is nothing else into the future unless we have further conversations.
Second.
Kind of a long motion.
Yeah. I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve regular agenda item number 4 as with the annotations added by Commissioner Lee. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. That passes 3-0. Okay, Commissioner Lee, I think you held item number 10 for discussion.
So number 10 is to approve a signing of an agreement with Nate Sechrist regarding COVID-19 legislative services. I appreciate the services that he has there. My concern on this is that I'm not quite sure, it hasn't been demonstrated to me yet, that this qualifies for COVID-19 funding, which it is implied that that's what this is going to come from. And so I'm just hesitant on that area, because we don't have everything quite in place yet. We're trying to get our program director in place and have these underlying conversations and then over the top conversations. And I'm even having more conversations on with others. And so I'm hesitant. I'm supportive of the concept of this. I really am. I think we need to have this individual fighting for us, but I just don't know. I would hate to have $25,000 next year say, sorry, that didn't actually measure up to the standards that are put out there.
So I think a couple of points. I think that concern is noted, and it should be a concern as we look at every COVID expense to make sure that it actually meets the Treasury guidelines. And so, but I do think those are two separate things, right? There's the approving of the contract, and the second item is it something that's eligible for reimbursement from the COVID funding?
And I think, Commissioner, I think Section 3, when we discuss the fees, attempts to address that very well, where it mentions that Sechrist acknowledges that the sole source of funding for this agreement is the federal COVID-19 grant available to the county. Okay. Accordingly, as an express condition precedent to any obligation of the county to make payment to Sechrist under this agreement, Sechrist shall provide the county detailed documentation. So I think within this particular contract, we very carefully crafted it to make sure that both Mr. Sechrist and the county are protected under very legitimate concerns of Mr.
And I saw that. So I guess the understanding is that if this does not fall underneath COVID-19, he would not request that $25,000.
That's
how I read that.
And I would add some additional factual color here, which is that I was in a 3-hour meeting today with Mr. Sechrist, and I spent about 5 hours on this yesterday. And there is and he has been working around the clock, because these consulting and lobbying services really matter to us right now, because as it relates to the state is still holding some COVID funds, mm-hmm. and then the county has received COVID funds, and the legislature and the city, the League of Cities and Towns and UAC are all meeting and trying to debate what is happening with these state level funds and the county level funds. And he's really acting in many ways as our voice in making sure that our interests are represented in all of those discussions.
Yeah, I see his value.
Yeah.
I know his value. And I just, you know, and I'm glad you pointed that out. And that's the understanding that from that contract, that the way it is, just for us going forward, I think that's valuable that we start off with this kind of conversation. So when others come up, we can continue that kind of conversation into the future.
Very fair.
Agreed. Okay, I'd entertain a motion on item 10.
I move we approve regular agenda item number 10.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve item 10. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. That passes 3-0. Okay. I do not have a note of which closed session items we need.
This is Rob Moore. It's my understanding we need 15 and 16. I'm not aware of any items on 17 or 18.
Okay.
So that would be for professional competence and also for a purchase or lease of real property.
Okay. Where would the road fall under? It's not really an exchange, right? So does that work for 16?
As well as the Willow Park agreement, I would suppose.
And Willow Park, so is that a...
Yeah, Willow Park definitely fits in 16. The road, to exchange it for something, then I...
I'm just asking if it's a 16 or a 17, because we're getting rid of it, which seems to be more of a sale. But
yeah,
I didn't...
that would be...
I didn't know. I just want to make sure. That with the road we're addressing it.
You've announced it for vacation. You noticed it for vacation, so yes.
Okay.
17.
So 15, 16, and 17.
Yep.
I'll make a motion that we strike number 18 on our regular agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and second to strike number 18. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 3-0.
I'll make a motion that we approve and set a date, time, and location for a closed meeting as described in number 15, number 16, and number 17 on our regular agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and second to hold the closed meetings as stated in 15, 16, and 17. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 3-0. We have no work session items. Is there any additional public comment? Seeing none, we will move into our closed meetings. Thank you. Rob, we're an hour earlier than you estimated.
You're right. You get bonus points for that.
Yeah, well, I got a 5:30 conference call I got to jump on, so we're tracking. We're open? Okay. So we're back in our open meeting. I will entertain a few final motions.
I'll make a motion that we untable number 2 on our published regular agenda and also on table number 9 on our published regular agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to untable number 2 and 9 from our regular agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 3-0.
I'll make a motion that we continue number 2 on our published regular agenda till our next meeting.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to continue item number 2 as stated. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 3-0.
I'll make a motion that we strike number 9 on our published regular agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to strike item number 9 on our agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That passes 3-0. Final motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
We're now adjourned.
Thanks, Dave.
Later.
Yeah. Good, done. Good.
Good, done.
Good job. Oh.